North Rock Podcast.
You know, every time Easter is coming up, Resurrection Sunday, I should say, I always think about what can we do? What can we do as a church? We want this to be a powerful celebration. And, you know, think about, okay, let's do a big production, have actors and have people swing in or do stuff like that, right? And then I realized, no, we don't have any kind of a drama department here at this church. I don't even think we have actors. I mean, if you're an actor, let us know. We'd love to do something with you. But we just decided that's not our thing. That's not us. And then, you know, I thought, well, maybe we could have like a famous speaker, someone that everybody knows, and they can come, and there's a big name, we can put them on the posters and all of that. And I thought, well, no, our church doesn't have money for that. We can't afford to pay a big speaker, except for my dad, Glenn Pummel. He spoke here on Friday night. Yeah. I do that only because I know how much he hates it. So then I thought, you know, what if we were to, what if I just laid out all this evidence about the existence of Jesus and this evidence that he is the Son of God. I mean, there's a lot. You know that, right? We could talk about the hundreds of prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus that you can't explain except for that Jesus is the Son of God and fulfilled those prophecies. You could talk about the over 500 people that saw Jesus with their own eyes after he was resurrected that are documented that they saw him, that they saw the nail prints in his hands and the scars in his feet, the scar on his side. We could talk about that. But you know what? I grew up hearing all that stuff. And it's good. It's important that we know that. It's important that we as believers, that we know those things, that we're able to discuss those things and tell people about that. But it really didn't make a huge difference in my life growing up. Just knowing didn't make a difference. You see, I grew up knowing about Jesus, knowing that he was real, but I didn't actually know him personally. He didn't live inside of me. I didn't have that personal relationship with him. Much of my growing up, I knew about God. I knew I could tell you mostly anything about him. And so I started thinking, what if we focused on people, on lives, who God has miraculously changed? What if we focused on former dead people that today are now alive? And you know what my next thought was? We have that in our church. We have a lot of that in our church. How many former dead people are here today that today you're alive in Christ? Now I'm not talking about, some of you are like, what is he talking about? I've never been dead. I'm talking about the life that Jesus came to give us. That we aren't truly alive until our spirit comes alive, until Jesus brings our spirit alive. And so that's what I decided that we would do this morning. I believe the greatest proof on this planet of Jesus being alive today is people, is the stories of how Jesus has brought people out of death into life. And so what I did was I found some friends. We could have been here for 3 hours if we would have had the time to do this with a bunch of different people. But I found 6 people in our church, in our community here. And what I did was I went and I just spent time with them. Took my video camera and I said, I want to hear your story. I want to hear your story of how you once were dead and today are alive. And so that's going to be our sermon today. Is these 6 people. I've got a little thing I'm going to interject in between, but I want to introduce you right now to 3 people. Well, 4 people. AJ and Shelly Sessions, Aaron Franklin, and Joey Partain. Let's watch proof that Jesus is real today in this video.
So I'm here today to talk about my wife and I and our love of Jesus and what Jesus has done in our life. And I'd like to start with probably our journey before we really gave our hearts to Jesus. And I'd say before we started going to North Rock and attending church, our life was kind of in disarray. there really wasn't a purpose to our life. We were kind of just lost. And we were just lost. We were looking for something more in our life. There was plenty of love in our relationship, but we wanted more. We wanted more for ourselves and for each other. And so with that, we started going to church at North Rock about a year and a half ago. And that was the beginning of us really giving our life over to Jesus. And for me personally, I would say with that experience, what I first started to learn was probably unconditional love. And Jesus' unconditional love for me.
When we started going to North Rock, we were really shy and we didn't necessarily want to be involved per se. We didn't know what we wanted. We just knew what we were doing wasn't working for us. And so right when we walked in, I mean, you could feel the Holy Spirit's power within the church and the people involved in the church. And I could remember Jimmy Monahan saying, please just stay until we could teach you to love yourself. And like AJ said, we saw that. We saw, you know, the Lord through the people that he brought into our lives. And, you know, we didn't make a whole lot of eye contact or anything at first. But once we started reaching out to the people, they started reaching back. And now we're involved, you know, with the children and, you know, personal relationships with several people at the church. And it's been the most fulfilling experience of our lives. And we're grateful.
The death of the old you and your old ways, your selfish ways, living for yourself. I guess kind of narcissism, you know? And the resurrection is kind of the resurrection of my spirit and life, and giving me reasoning for things. Like, there's more reason for me to love and to experience this world now that I've kind of taken a step back and tried to put other people before myself now. That's probably the main thing I've learned through my following of Jesus.
Before we turned our lives over to Christ, we were afraid and lonely and lost. And once we fully turned our lives over to the Lord, we have fulfillment, love, and character. And there's nothing in the world that I would trade for that.
Hi, I'm Aaron Franklin. I grew up in a broken home. My parents were divorced when I was really young. Especially as a young boy growing up without a father, I really struggled for a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, trying to figure out who I was, where I belonged, where I fit in. That led to a whole lot of seeking, looking for love in all the wrong places. it led me to a place where I looked in all the wrong places for love and acceptance. As a young boy, I did a lot of things to try and get attention to make people like me. And as I moved into adolescence, it began to kind of manifest itself in, you know, hanging out with kids that did drugs and drank and did all the things that our parents told us not to do. I felt like I fit in there. I felt like they accepted me. But they just came out of the same boat I came out of, so really that path just progressively got worse. I was incarcerated at 15 for my first time. I was living on the streets and just really lost. It moved past just using and drinking to getting into selling narcotics. I would say at least eight years of my adult life, in and out of different phases of the correctional system. Going down that road and along that path, there were many times when I heard about Christ. People would come in and talk about Jesus. I was facing a pretty extended period of prison time for being caught with narcotics for the third time. I was sitting in a cell, I was going to go through a divorce, I was lonely, sad, broken. And some older gentleman came by and asked if anybody wanted to go to church, and I just felt led to go. I didn't have anywhere else to go, I didn't have anywhere else to look. And so I went that night. What happened in that room, I can only really describe as sort of kind of like what I would think that heaven might be like a little bit. When that man got up there and started preaching, I feel like the Holy Spirit just unleashed this load of truth on me all at once, and it was too much to try and explain to you. But the things that had happened in my past, specific circumstances, I could see God in all of it. I could hear God saying, "It's me. I'm what you've been looking for this whole time. It's me. And I've been seeking you as well." And I can't describe the love that I felt. It was so overwhelming. I barely made it through that service. I got back to my cell and immediately went to this one place where you can have a little bit of privacy in jail, and that's in a shower. And I just wept like a baby for a good 30 minutes. You know, all I could say was, "Lord, thank you, and I love you, and I want this, and I want you." And instantly, my heart was changed. That day in that jail cell, I was truly crucified with Christ. I know what it means to be buried and resurrected a new man. And the journey, there's a hope that I have that I can't even describe to you. It's circumstances that would probably crumble a normal man or a worldly man. I see hope in those things. I see Jesus in those things. I see a purpose in those things. I wear these around my neck because these remind me. I got a Psalm 34 that reminds me that many are the trials of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. And of course, you know, you've got Luke 9 that reminds us of our responsibility to not be ashamed of Christ and share the gospel with others. And that's what we live for today, man. And I tell you what, I wouldn't go back for anything. Go Jesus.
My name is Joey Partain, and I am a child of God and a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I didn't have a very, very good childhood. I was molested and at a very young age, and I seen some very tragic things happen to my mother when I was a kid, and it made me grow up with trust issues and made me have low self-esteem of myself, and, you know, turned to drugs and alcohol at a very young age. August 27th, 1983, that's when my life really got turned upside down. I was in a car accident, and I killed two people. I hated myself and the world around me. Because I lived, you know, I felt I should have died. And I lived, you know, in shame and hatred and anger for 24 years afterwards. I lived a drug and alcohol induced life to hide the pain, you know, and so I wouldn't have to face reality. It was 7 years ago on July 13th, 2007 is when I accepted Christ into my life, and that was the greatest thing I've done in my life, because ever since I've asked Christ into my life has turned around 180 degrees. My life may not be perfect, but my life is a lot better than what it was because of the light and the love that the Lord shines in me and the people He puts around me. I feel like I've been resurrected because I lived a deadful life, a sinful life, and, you know, a life that wasn't worth having. For me, if I can make a difference in one person's life and keep them from going down the road that I had to suffer, then my journey is well worth it. And, you know, there's only one person that I had to please in this world, and that's my Heavenly Father. And He is an all-loving and all-forgiving and an all-merciful God that does show His grace even though we don't deserve it. And, you know, ever since I've accepted Christ into my life, I don't hate myself anymore because Christ has forgiven me. And you know, if Christ can forgive me, I got to be able to forgive myself because I'm not bigger than Him. And, you know, the great thing about this is, you know, God used somebody like me to be a beacon of His light, to plant His seed in others, you know, I'm a leader in Celebrate Recovery. I'm leading a men's 12-step program. This is my third one. I'm going to have flaws, and you know, I'm going to have troubles in my life, but I'm okay with that because I have Christ in my life.
Yes. So I'm here to say today, what's the proof of resurrection? And I think the answer is talk to a dead guy. Talk to a former dead person. You can't argue with that. When someone has been dead and now is back to life, you know, Jesus does miracles, and still to this day, people are healed. People are healed of physical things. But I feel like that the far greater miracle is when Jesus heals a heart. Because that's tough. I mean, I think of myself and the many stories that I hear of people and how hard the heart is and how much the world affects us. And for Jesus to come in and bring life where there doesn't seem to ever be the possibility of life. It's seen dead people walk again. I think that's what did it for me. I remember going to the Dream Center for the first time in Los Angeles, California, where they, every single week, they minister to thousands of people, homeless, drug addicts, gang members, prostitutes. And when I saw these people coming back to life one after another, that's when I began to say, whoa, something's going on there. Jesus is alive today and bringing life to people. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and to give you life abundant. And that's what he wants for every single one of us. John chapter 11 shows a dead guy. A guy who named Lazarus, who Jesus brought back to life. Many of you have heard the story of Lazarus. And I'd like to just share a couple thoughts on this story in John chapter 11. In verse 11 it says, then he said, our friend Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. I'm going to stop right there. For now, you will really believe. These are people that had been with Jesus, and they still didn't know what was going on here. But Jesus says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to raise this dead guy back to life. I don't care if it's raising people back to life physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's a miracle that God does in people's lives. And when we see that, it does something for us. It causes us to believe, as we see here. And then in verse 45, it says, many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Again, I think the greatest evidence in this world that Jesus is alive today is people. What Jesus has done in people. Many of you in this room have a story of what Jesus has done in your life. It's powerful. It's your testimony. It's something you should share with the world because they're going to see that. Don't try to debate someone. Just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. As we see here, many believed. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. I love this line right here. It says, if we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Isn't that crazy? I love it. And you know what? It still applies today. If we allow Jesus to be unleashed on this world, people will believe. If you will take note at what Jesus is doing in people's lives and how God is changing people's hearts, you also will believe. Maybe you're here this morning, you struggle with this idea. Maybe I just don't know if I believe. I just don't know if I believe in this. You know what I want to say to you today is try Jesus. Try him out. I think of the lady that there's a story of a woman. She had an issue of blood. She just was bleeding nonstop for years. She tried everything, probably gone to every doctor. Finally, one day, she sees Jesus in this crowd, and she's basically, this is her last hope. I'm going to try Jesus. We'll see what happens. She fought through the crowd, and she just simply touched his robe. And he turned around, and he said, "Who touched me?" He knew. He turned around, and he saw this lady, and instantly she was healed. Jesus loves to heal people. Even if it's your last resort, even if it's the last thing that you're going to try on this earth, I just want to say, try Jesus. He will not let you down. He will not disappoint you. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Do you know that's been the battle since the day Jesus rose from the dead? We can't let this guy take over the world. Who's saying that? The spirit of this world says that. Everything in this world is fighting against you believing in Jesus Christ. There's things barraging you, and you might not see it that way. You might just think, well, I just don't believe. Let me tell you something. It's the world. It's people like this saying, we can't let them see what's really going on in this world. But I'm telling you, if you take a look around, if you stick around North Rock for any amount of time, you're going to see undeniable proof that Jesus is alive today and changing people's hearts and making a difference and bringing people back to life. It happens every single week. Come to Celebrate Recovery on a Friday night and you'll see it. It's incredible. Jesus has changed people's lives for the last 2,000 years. And that's why I stand here before you. That's why I'm a pastor. I wouldn't do this if I didn't believe with all my heart. If I haven't seen thousands and thousands of people, I thank God that I was raised a missionary kid, living in another country as a child, seeing God do miracles in people's lives. I thank God for that because today I can stand up and I can say, I have seen it for 40 years now. Jesus is alive, and he's alive in people. Yes. Dead people coming back to life. It's what Jesus is good at, people. It's how he rolls. I'm telling you. I want you to meet two more former dead people. Marissa and Summer. Just open up your heart to receive what God might want to speak to you through these two testimonies. These two evidence of Jesus being alive in people's heart. Let's watch.
Grew up in the church. I actually grew up in this church. I remember finding this church in the Yellow Pages when I was just 10 or 11 years old, and I am going to say I'm a lot. Can we start over? So my acting career didn't work. Seriously, you're still recording. Awesome. Yes. Okay, perfect. So I remember being 12 years old when I felt the call to be in full-time ministry, and I remember on my 18th birthday signing my application to Life Pacific Bible College, and I loved it, and I remember my internship and just how much fun it was to learn about the Word of God. And I know after I graduated, I was having a really hard time. I was getting really sick, and a lot of my family was getting really sick. And I remember one day in particular that I was standing inside of a church, and I found out that my grandfather fell 12 foot off of a ladder, and they didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And I just remember standing there and saying, this isn't what I signed up for. If you're not going to take care of me, if you're not going to take care of my family, I'm done. And I walked out, and I didn't step feet into a church for 4 years. And during that time, my life just got exponentially worse and worse and worse. And I remember, you know, I lost everything at the end. At the end of the 4-year stint, I was drinking 6 times a week. I was drinking more than any human could or should, and I was so lost and so lonely and so empty. And I remember being at my house after a party, and my house was completely trashed and everyone had left, and I saw a bottle of booze and a bottle of pills on the counter, and I remember holding both of them in my hands, and I'm like, how much would it take of these things to end this emptiness, to end this not even life? And that's when I decided to step back in the church. And I know I felt ashamed to even come back here because I knew that I had let people down, or I felt the shame, I felt the failure, I felt everything, and I couldn't handle it. And so I went to a different church for a couple of weeks, and I remember sitting at the Old Chicago and watching this church let out and seeing families that I grew up with and people that I knew kind of come out of church. And I felt God tugging at my heart, telling me to come home. And I walked in to the church, and all of the failure, all of the disappointment that I felt in myself just melted away because I felt God say, "You're home." And I knew at that point that being just a peasant in the kingdom of God was better than the wildest party that I could have possibly thrown at my house. It was better than anything else. I know that everything that I've been able to accomplish, everything that I've been able to do, was because God didn't give up on me, even when I gave up on myself. And I'm thankful for that every single day. That even when I thought that it wasn't worth it, even when I thought that there was an easy way out, God knew that He wasn't done with me yet. And every single day I get to come here and be a part of something that's bigger than myself. I get to laugh and greet and just be real and be honest and be sincere and know that my identity is in Christ. It's not in my sobriety. It's not in anything else other than Him. And that there's grace. And even when I think that I've messed everything up, He's still there. That's all I got.
Hi, I'm Summer Trujillo. I'm 26 years old, and I'm gonna tell you about my life and how Jesus loves me. When I was 15 years old, my mom sent me to my biological father's house, who isn't here anymore, and he lived with a biker gang, and they did methamphetamines, and they gave it to me, and ended up overdosing from a bunch of different things when I was 15. And then I was 18 and I worked at a strip club. Am I allowed to say that? I worked at a strip club when I was 18 years old, and so basically I did meth from 15 to 18, and then did a lot of coke and weed. And then I met Dan, the father of my kids, and he got hit by a car, and that started opiate addiction. And so we started doing painkillers a whole lot, and then we got on meth again to fix the opiate withdrawals. And then I had my three children, Jude, Lyric, and Malachi. Jude and Lyric were twins, and Malachi was three, and I did drugs off and on from then, but never while I was pregnant. And then eventually the drugs got so bad that I left, and I went to my mom's house, and I left Dan, and he continued to do drugs, and I was with my kids. And then I met somebody named Shane, and I got pregnant. this was about 2 years ago, and I started using drugs while I was pregnant, 7 months pregnant. And I induced labor with meth, and he was born, and he had to be weaned off drugs. It was about August 25th. They took all three of my children out of my custody. I had called social services because I was I couldn't get off heroin and I couldn't move, and my three boys were running around with their diapers and eating food off of the floor and just not taken care of. Sorry. And then I lost him completely on July 9th, 8 days after my birthday. And then Jesus rescued me. And he gave me peace in my heart, and he was that one he talks about. He drew me out of deep waters. That one. That's pretty much what it did. Because I didn't do anything. Just pray. And yeah, I lost everything. I lost all my kids. I lost the guy that I was with. I lost my house. I lost my cars. And I'm happy. And so I don't know what that could be but God, you know, because he takes care of me every day. And I prayed to God and asked him, you know, to help me accept it and to help me understand why everything had happened to me. And he just, you know, North Rock Church was a big thing for me, just being here and being with people that care about me and don't make me feel like I'm this monster, because I'm not. I'm beautiful and Jesus loves me. Like, everybody has like complete wrong picture of God, because he's not. He's so merciful, and if he can let me go through what I went through and know, he knows who I am, and the insides of me and the insides of me at one point were so bad, and he still loves me for who I am. And you know, he can love anybody from there, because I was pretty bad. My life used to be full of darkness and hard things, and now, you know, Jesus carries me through things and helps me smile. And
in the same book that we're reading out of John, in the same chapter, John chapter 11, Jesus says something. This isn't the same story as we have seen Lazarus been raised from the dead. Jesus, he's talking to Martha, and this is what he says. And as I read this, I want you to search your heart this morning. And I want you to ask yourself, do you believe this? Because your eternity will be determined by whether you believe this or not. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." And that includes here on this earth as well. Do you want life while you're here on this earth? Jesus is willing to give that to you. I didn't say this at any of the other services, but as I was sitting there watching this video, watching these videos, Marissa and Summer, I really felt like that God wants to not just resurrect lives, but he wants to resurrect dreams in this room this morning as well. You know, when I minister to homeless people, or when I was in Saline, I did a lot of that, more than I get a chance to do here. But I'd sit there at the mission with these men, and I'd look around the room, and I realized every one of these men had childhood dreams, had dreams that the enemy's come and stolen from them. And I believe in this room today, there's dreams that have been taken from you that God wants to resurrect in your lives. He resurrected Marissa. He's using her in powerful ways here at our church and people's lives. And I'm so thankful that he's done that in your life. So thankful for what he's done in Summer's life. Aaron, a good friend of mine, I'm so thankful what he's done in his life. Joey, one of my good friends, so thankful for the dreams that God has resurrected. The sessions, love those people and their family and how God's using them. And the story goes on and on and on. The stories go on and on and on of people who have experienced resurrection power. And let me tell you something. God doesn't just go around and say, okay, I think I'll do it to that person and help that person. No, it's for all of us. Every single person in this room can grasp what's hanging out in front of us this morning. It's right there for every one of us. Can we all stand together? We're going to close by singing a song, but I like to pray as we go into this final song. Father God, you are so good. You are so good. Today we celebrate your goodness. We've heard the story hundreds, if not thousands of times of how you paid that price for us. We've seen the images, we've watched the movies, and maybe even too much to where it can lose its power in our lives. God, would you bring us back to the simplicity and the power of the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, to the middle of the mess of our lives, to make something beautiful out of it, to bring life where there was death, to conquer death on the cross, to rise from the dead, so that resurrection may be available to every single one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just want to give an invitation this morning. If there's anyone here, and if we could have our eyes closed this morning. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, for whatever reason, maybe you think you've got to have it all together before you can do it. Well, that's not the truth. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me exactly the way you are, and I will give you rest. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Just right where you're at, with every eye closed, just lift your hand up so that I can see you. I would love to lead you into that this morning. Just right where you're at, just lift up your hand. I see your hand up here. You can put it down after. Anybody else? I see your hand over here. Anyone else? Anybody else? I see your hand right here. Anybody else? I see your hand. Go ahead and put your hand down after you've raised. Anyone else? This is the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. Jesus stops at nothing to have us, so that he may spend eternity with us. Anyone else this morning? Just lift your hand right where you're at. Praise God. Well, I'm going to pray right now, and those of you that lifted your hands, and even if you didn't raise your hand, you can still do this. In fact, just the fact that you raise your hand means that you believe. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that you're saved. But I want to just lead you in a prayer that simply just kind of puts a stamp on this. And it's how you can continue to pray in your life. And you don't have to repeat after me, but let your heart speak these words this morning. Father God, I thank you for the incredible gift that you sent to this world. This free gift of grace and love in your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I say yes. I believe in my heart And I confess right now that you are Lord, that you are my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I pray you'd put people around these that are starting this journey with you, that you'd show them, Father, you'd reveal yourself to them, that you'd put people in their lives to help them in this discipleship process, God, to help them on this journey, Lord. Show them, Father, as you do so well, that it's not easy, but it's the most rewarding, most fulfilling, greatest journey we could ever go on. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in our lives and what you're doing in the lives of those this morning who are responding to you. We love you, God. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.